see. The rewards of Christ's sacrifice, Christ's priestly intercession is now going on in the sanctuary above in our behalf. But how few have a real understanding that our great high priest presents before the Father his own blood, claiming for the sinner who receives him as his personal Savior all the graces which his covenant embraces as the reward of his sacrifice. This sacrifice made him abundantly able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. To many it has been a mystery why so many sacrificial offerings were required in the old dispensation, why so many bleeding victims were led to the altar. But the great truth that was to be kept before men, and imprinted upon mind and heart, was this: without shedding of blood is no remission. In every bleeding sacrifice was typified the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ himself was the originator of the Jewish system of worship, in which, by types and symbols, were shadowed forth spiritual and heavenly things. Many forgot the true significance of these offerings, and the great truth that through Christ alone there is forgiveness of sin, was lost to them. The multiplying of sacrificial offerings, the blood of bulls and goats, could not take away sin. The lesson of the animal sacrifices, a lesson was embodied in every sacrifice, impressed in every ceremony, solemnly preached by the priest in his holy office, and inculcated by God himself, that through the blood of Christ alone is there forgiveness of sins. How little we as a people feel the force of this great truth! How seldom, by living, acting faith, do we bring into our lives this great truth, that there is forgiveness for the least sin, forgiveness for the greatest sin. See. Everlasting covenant sealed forever, Christ was without sin, else his life in human flesh and his death on the cross would have been of no more value in procuring grace for the sinner than the death of any other man. While he took upon him humanity, it was a life taken into union with deity. He could lay down his life as priest and also victim. He possessed in himself power to lay it down and take it up again. He offered himself without spot to God. The atonement of Christ sealed forever the everlasting covenant of grace. It was the fulfilling of every condition upon which God suspended the free communication of grace to the human family. Every barrier was then broken down which intercepted the freest exercise of grace, mercy, peace, and love to the most guilty of Adam's race. Offerer and offering, priest and victim, the infinite sufficiency of Christ is demonstrated by his bearing the sins of the whole world. He occupies the double position of offerer and of offering, of priest and of victim. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The prince of this world cometh, he declares, and hath nothing in me. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. See. Jesus stands in the Holy of Holies, Jesus stands in the Holy of Holies, now to appear in the presence of God for us. There he ceases not to present his people moment by moment, complete in himself. But because we are thus represented before the Father, we are not to imagine that we are to presume upon his mercy, and become careless, indifferent, and self-indulgent. Christ is not the minister of sin. We are complete in him, accepted in the Beloved, only as we abide in him by faith. Not in a state of solitude and grandeur, do not let your thoughts dwell upon yourselves. Think of Jesus. He is in his holy place, not in a state of solitude and grandeur, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 of heavenly beings who wait to do their master's bidding. And he bids them go and work for the weakest saint who puts his trust in God. High and low, rich and poor, have the same help provided.